So you viewed him as responsible for running the staff. Then what did you view as your responsibility as the elected leader?
My responsibility was to the board and to people. Now, there was time when people had unstaffed. Let's say the community had some problems. And hey, man, see, can't you solve this problem? You know, X, Y, and Z. So you have to deal with it. I can't tell you how to deal with it. You hear every day. Or you got somebody mm-hmm. here every day. I can't very well do that.
And how about in terms of program development? How did you see your two roles?
Well, after the meeting was over, we always, you know, did what we felt like needed to be done. And it was up to him and his staff to get it done. They always kind of responded real well. I thought Tim and Ed, or whoever was there, Bert, Steve and another little guy, they were our attorneys. Sometimes we had to go to Capitol Hill, and they would go and do what legal people do. They'd come back, and they would come to the meeting and give us a report on how well we stood with FAP. We had another little guy. He went to San Francisco. I can't remember his name. He's getting kind of old. But he hung in that office. John somebody, stayed in that office day and night. I think he slept and ate the FAP program.
Mm-hmm.
He was steady digging into mm-hmm. that program and get stuff printed out, you know, where we could understand
mm-hmm.
it, and get the mailing out to the recipients across the country. And he, you know, he did that. So we had some very dedicated people to put out the information. And I was not about to listen, even though I think John Lewis was a good newspaper man. Printer, I guess that's what you call it. I wasn't about it. I didn't know him anyway, as well as I had got to know George. There was some other problem. At some point in time, Hobart would have some problems. A lot of people call Hobart one of George Wiley's disciples. He would have some problems too, especially around publicity. If George got some publicity, Hobart used to have some problems with that. But my thing mm-hmm. about that is, you know, you go do something, give you some publicity. You put 10,000 people across Brooklyn Bridge. George wasn't there when you did that. You organized that 10,000 women and men and children walk across Brooklyn Bridge. You with the other group, with you and the group people in New York City, who did that? You know, so it was, I think I played a lot of peacemaking rules.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Because I don't think we really had the time to get bogged down in personalities mm-hmm. and that kind of stuff. I don't believe in that kind of stuff.
Sounds like there was a lot of that, though, and that you were always trying to smooth the water.
I was. I did some, quite a bit of it.
Well,
between George and some of the staff, between George, not a lot of the women, but some,
mm-hmm.
you know. And my question to them, can you deliver the money? And mm-hmm. that money is what we really need.
Mm-hmm.
$2,000 telephone bill, can you deliver mm-hmm. the money to pay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you can, maybe we don't need George.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can't do it, why don't we just let George alone?
Mm-hmm.
You know.
And did you see, it sounds like you saw him, his key role as fundraiser, and Tim and some of the others more as program
yeah,
ideas.
Yeah, they did. And like I said, but Tim raised a few dollars himself,
right.
You know. But he hung in the office when George was on the road. You know, and somebody need to do that. And a lot of things Tim didn't tell either. But he got a lot of flack out of some of them people in that office. And they all weren't black either. But he never told us about it, and I found out about it later. But he hung in there, you know.
Now, it sounds like there was a challenge from John Lewis and whoever was lined up with him that was based on a race issue. What, was there any challenge ever based on the sex issue, that the recipients were mainly women, but the staff was mainly men? Did that ever become an issue?
Not to my knowledge. It may have, but not to my knowledge, because we had some women, some young women, young attorney women who were women on that staff. We had secretaries that was on that staff that were women. We had several black ones on there, but like I say, black people was not able to volunteer like a lot of the white kids was, you know, because they had to work and they wasn't able to do that. That's what I chalk it up to. There's a girl now, I think she writes for the Times. Her name is, she married to Charlie Palmer. Mary Lou, somebody, but she used to be married to Charlie Palmer. Charlie Palmer's mother was a big, staunch Democratic fundraiser here in Los Angeles, and she was married to him, but she spent a lot of time on the staff there. Charlie also participated more or less in the political part. He did the political piece for us because that's what he was familiar with. But Mary Lou spent a lot of time in the office until she went back to school. You know, she finally went back to a divinity school in Boston.
Johnny, when you were first elected, how long was that term for?
2 years. I was elected. We had set up, you could only be kind of like President of the United States, you could only be elected to serve 2 terms. So I was elected in 1967 and re-elected in 1979. 1971, I went off.
And
came as associate director.
Now, was there a challenge to your re-election in 69?
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
Oh, that one was interesting. That was quite interesting. New York City, wide organization, always had the more block vote. A block of votes than anybody else because they were a large organization. It seemed that some of the people in the citywide New York organization had some problems with me, but I didn't know about it. So,
was this the Beulah Sanders Group?
Yeah, Beulah was chairman of the citywide. And Beulah liked being chairman of the citywide organization. I had been president of ANC Mothers here in Los Angeles and the first president, elected president of the statewide organization. After I became national chairwoman, I left the state. Got somebody else to do it. I left ANC Mothers. Left that position and somebody else into the I don't need to hog the whole show. So when we got to Detroit, I used the same procedure that I had used in Washington. I had a 11 man nominating committee, and the only thing I did different this time, in the general session, at the end of the first general session, I announced that I was running for re-election. I didn't do it before. So to my understanding, the New York people decided that they would run Beulah against me. Buehler at that time was second vice president, chairman. Edel Horn was the vice, my third vice chairman. So, and they told her if she didn't run, they would not re-elect her as chairwoman for the city. So, was all right, no problem. So when they had the election, it took them so long to do the election because they gave Carol King a fit out of Ohio. And Carol did not do the election like she should have done it. She should have started with the last person that was on the nominating committee and then go up, and the chairman should have been the last person to be elected. She didn't. She started first. After I did the same thing that I done in Washington, after that the session was over, I left the room. I left the place. I went to the hotel across the street. All of us did. All of the executive board and some old people, we left. And we left the convention floor. So we went, and we was over there long enough, Bueller. They had been here. And we had a meeting in Los Angeles. We had went down to a dress shop that I buy my clothes from. I had took them there. And we bought these beautiful white dresses for this convention. So everybody had the white dress. So we went across the street to the hotel. So I thought it was about time the election should have been over. So we get all dressed up and come back to the convention floor. And they were just about halfway through the darn election. And Fannie Lou Hamer was our guest speaker, and Fannie Lou Hamer was supposed to speak after the election. It was midnight when she talked about him something terrible. And I remember coming back on that convention floor, and they were in a deadlock. And I was Tracy Janning. Carol had left. She just gave up. She said, "Dang, you've been re-elected. So you got to close the convention." But I don't, I'm not supposed to close the convention. So I had to, well, what had happened, I noticed afterwards. So I said to Buehler, I said, "You running against me?" She said, "Well, they want me to run." I said, "Who's they?" I said, "Yeah, okay." Well, Faith Evans, who was a man on the NCC from New York, Faith didn't drive. He never learned to drive. So I needed to go downtown. So I got one of the 9 cars that they gave. They gave me the keys. This was a long Cadillac, I think. So Faith got in the car with me. And we went to downtown. Now, I went to buy some shoes or something. And the New York people got very, very upset with him. And every time he'd go in their caucus, they would say, "You just come in here and find out something so you can go back and tell Johnny Tim." And they were right. That's exactly what he would do. So I noticed I had sent Etta several places, and she didn't get over too well to the people. Where I had sent Buehler, the recipient groups, It came up with split votes. But it really didn't bother me. She couldn't tell me that she was voting. It wasn't just that she had been elected. So an interesting thing happened after I was elected and I had to come back and finish our convention. We got all these people sitting here. And at that time, we had set up regional operations. So we had Eastern Region, Southern Region, Western Region, and Central Region. Central Region took in people like Michigan, Chicago, places like that, Eastern and Spar, New York, whatever. Southern, Alabama, Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, stuff like that. Well, I had two things going for me. Number one, I was born and raised in the South. Okay. Blue was too, because she come out of North Carolina. But number two, I lived in Los Angeles. So I had been down in Virginia. At that time, that thing, Virginia had 41 votes. I had been up in Michigan, but Zula had been up in Flint, Michigan. So Flint, Michigan had 11 votes. But they split the votes because Detroit, the people in the other part of Michigan, I think the whole thing was 41 votes. But I got 30 of them, and she got 11 of them. The Western Region voted in a block. And the Southern voted in a block. Wasn't no switch. And see, all of the Eastern didn't go against me either. So, but what, I tell you what, fighting me, I had said that I wanted Geraldine Smith, who at that time out of Mississippi, to remain as treasurer. She came in as Bubby left to go on staff. So I wanted her to remain as treasurer because she wanted Southern representation on our board. And the girl who did the politicking for the Western Region, who comes from California, come up the street, pulled it all together. And they had these Philadelphia people, Pittsburgh people, had somebody that they wanted to add to the board. So they were going to run her for the treasurer. Geraldine got nominated for the nominating committee. They put Claire Ward from the floor. But they had been doing their caucuses and so on. I didn't attend no caucus whatsoever. So they had made deal with California to support me in exchange for Clara. So, but I don't know none of this. So when we get back to this particular position, Brady Evans was the roll caller. So I had Geraldine Smith nominated by nominating committee, Clara Ward nominated from the floor. And then somebody moved to close the nomination because they don't really want nobody else involved. And they did that, and they went through all that ratification. And their vote started to vote. So on, she would call Mississippi vote, so on, Geraldine Smith. That's what Gerald called her. so and kept on down the line. But when it get to California, Catherine excuses herself. She got to go to the bathroom. Espinola said, she's from Northern California, she said, California passed. She said, I wonder why they passed it. But I can't go to them because they sitting way up here and I'm way up here on the thing, so I can't get to them at all. I can't get no signal from them. So I'm in hot water right now, I think. So they call all of these people. They were counting the votes. And at the end, when Bertie went over recalling for the other folks, when they called for California, they said, Catherine is back there now. In California, 26 votes for Claire Ward. God damn, what in the hell did they do that for? I was so mad with them. But you know what they done? They counted the votes, and they lived up to their promise to Pittsburgh people because they counted the votes. Geraldine had won anyway, so 26 votes from Carol Watt didn't take nothing away from him. And, what are you guys doing? So they finally ran it down to me because they knew I was hot. They finally ran it down to me. They said, well, she had to run anyway, so she really didn't need our 26 votes. We promised the 26 votes to Pittsburgh. We gave them the 26 votes, but she had to run the election anyway, so it didn't help. It didn't help crowning her. But they scared the devil out of me.
Was this just power play stuff, or like when Beulah ran against you? Did they make a point of difference? Were there issues that were raised?
You know what? I never really knew what that issue was. Except maybe they felt like she would be more controllable than me. And they got that right. She was. Don't nobody control me. And it's very, very hard to control me. And they couldn't do that. I remember after the election, I had been in Boston. And I came by. They got into it with the same lady, Frankie Jeter from Pittsburgh. They had a problem with nominating people for the regional representatives. That by that time, regional people, we wanted two people from each region to be on, or be a part of the board. And Janet Washington had been NCC, but then it had been recommended her to go on as a regional representative. And then somebody else wanted to be, thought that somebody else should be on there. And I remember Frankie getting very upset about it. And I said to Frankie, I said, well, wait a minute, why don't, let's cool it. Forget about that position. I got something else for you. That's what I said to her on stage. But some people heard me. And they didn't really know what I meant. And matter of fact, Frankie didn't know what I meant. What I really meant was we were going to do a health program. And we were going to do, we were going to get some money out of ATW. Matter of fact, we had got the money. It wasn't a lot of money. And we were going to do, I forget what it called. Anyway, I was going to get her, I was going to appoint her on that committee to deal with that. That's why I told her, don't worry about being a regional representative. I got something else for you. And New York people heard me say that. And that was one way to calm her down. And I did really want her to do something else. She didn't really need to get in that. So I was in Boston and they were still raising hell with me. So I came to New York, stopped at Beulah's house. And Beulah's saying they still raising sand. I said, yeah, well, what do they want? And it was Penny Anderson. Mm-hmm. I had been in New York several times. I went to New York with you. Okay, I didn't know any women in New York music. I went from Washington with her. I stayed at her house, and she took me around to New York. I went to some of that citywide meetings, but I didn't get involved in their meetings. She around her meeting. When she got through with her meetings, we went home. I went wherever else we were going to go. So I remember calling. They called her. And they was running their mouth, so she said, Johnny's here now. She just walked in. So I got on the phone, a lady named Georgia Good. She went ran raving on the phone. I never will forget her. She said, I said, well, you didn't elect me. She said, I didn't elect Nixon either, but he just said, so bring your ass on over your city, why? I said, yeah, okay. I do that. And she said, when you come, I said, I'll be this evening. You don't be there. So we got ready and we went on over. So I walked in. They were still raised standing among themselves. So I just walked in and sat on the stool and looked at them. So when they finished, I said, what you guys want? So they went on to tell me that I neglected them. What are you talking about? You come to New York, you don't never come. You never been to Brooklyn. That was true. But you guys never asked me to book you. I said, well, I come up here. I came up here with Duke. Or I may have come with George on some fundraising stuff. But I come with her. I can't do your meeting. I don't supposed to be participating in your meeting. I just sit and listen to you. You don't ask me no questions. I don't give you no answers. So I must have spent 2 or 3 hours with them. They throwing one thing at me and another. I throw it back at them. I don't have no problem with you because I really don't know you. You know, I can't have no personal problems against you. And I've been to other groups. I just left Boston. Welfare rights up in Boston. So I said, you know, nobody never asked me to go to Brooklyn. Do I need to go to Brooklyn? They said, well, we'd like for you to. I said, then you ain't got nothing to do but ask me. Then they wanted to know, well, Jeanette Washington wasn't seated as a region representative. I said, were you going to blame me for that? They said, yeah, and we heard you told Frankie that you had something for her. I said, that's right. And it's not, ain't got nothing to do with you. So that's true. Now, if you want Jeanette seated, you ain't got nothing to do but write us a letter. Write it down to Washington. She'd be seated. That ain't no problem. Or what else? That's all. You go to Brooklyn with us. When you want me to go to Brooklyn? We want you to go tonight. Fine. Let's go. They took me to Brooklyn. We rolled down on the train because I hadn't, you know, because when I go to Beulah's house, we just take a taxi. So you go to Brooklyn on the train. It was nice. I spent all evening and having a night with them, you know. But I never had no more problems. But I think they felt that. And I think Hoba had something to do with that, too, because he would have left to run the office, and he couldn't. I really believe that he had something to do with that. And after this was 69, then after 71, we brought George Burson and